Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. I am your host and your guide into the depths of the unknown, the unsettling, and the unimaginable. As the night wraps around us, prepare to embark on a journey where shadows come alive and whispers beckon from the darkness. Tonight, we delve into a tale where the line between legend and reality blur. So, dim the lights, pull your blanket close, and let the haunting begin. The rich aroma of brewed tea and old books wafted through the dimly lit room, the walls of which were lined with faded photographs and yellowing documents of the town's history. Plush maroon chairs surrounded a dark mahogany table, each taken by a member of the historical society. Lamplight shimmered through the room, casting eerie patterns on the ancient wallpaper. Mr. Henderson, the society's chairman, a man in his 60s with snow-white hair and a well-trimmed beard, tapped the table with a slender ivory gavel. Ladies and gentlemen, we need fresh, innovative ideas to raise funds for our society's endeavors. Linda, with her curled auburn hair and wearing her signature pearl necklace, cleared her throat. How about a bake sale? Or perhaps a town raffle? Those are decent, Linda, murmured Helen, a woman whose age showed only in the wisdom of her blue eyes. But we've done them before. The town craves something unique. From the corner of the table, Jake, the youngest member with unruly dark hair and bright, eager eyes, hesitated before speaking up. Why not turn the old school into a haunted house for Halloween? Whispers and murmurs rippled around the room. The old school, Linda questioned, her eyebrows furrowing. Jake nodded enthusiastically. It's been abandoned for decades and everyone knows the stories about it. Helen leaned forward. Ah, ghost stories and old wives' tales. Do you truly believe them? Jake met her gaze. It's not about what I believe. It's about the atmosphere. Imagine walking those ancient corridors with only a lantern, not knowing if the creak you heard was a plank or something. More. Mr. Henderson stroked his beard, pondering the idea. It would certainly be a draw. But would it be in good taste? We'll base it on the legends, Jake said, leaning in. The forbidden love stories, the rumors of teachers driven mad. We don't have to invent tales. The school's history offers plenty. And which history would that be? Helen asked with a wry smile. The school was built in the 1800s, and many things could have occurred within those walls. I attended in my youth. We whispered of odd happenings, but children have wild imaginations. Jake persisted. It closed in the 1970s, didn't it? And no one speaks of why. That mystery alone is a pull. I heard it was structural issues, Linda mused. Or was it the cost? A deep voice from the back of the room, belonging to Robert, a historian with the society, interjected. Or maybe it closed because of the shadows of its past. The room fell silent. Mr. Henderson finally broke the quietude. Jake, it's daring. If done respectfully, I believe it could be the attraction we need. We'll vote. All in favor. Hands slowly rose, casting their votes. Very well. A haunting halls it is. Jake's heart raced with excitement, not realizing that their project would stir echoes from a world beyond their own. But for now, plans began for the most ambitious event the Historical Society had ever undertaken. The old school loomed like a silent guardian of forgotten memories. Its ivy-covered walls bore the scars of time, and the once shiny windows were now dusty and opaque. As the members of the Historical Society approached, the massive wooden doors groaned open, revealing dark hallways that smelled of dampness and age. Under Jake's enthusiastic leadership, the committee began their work. Long-forgotten classrooms were transformed into scenes of eerie tableaus, a makeshift graveyard here, an old-fashioned surgical room there. Artificial spider webs hung from every corner, and phonographs were placed strategically to emit spine-chilling sounds. As the crew worked, peculiar things began to occur. Helen placed a toolbox down, only to find it missing moments later. Robert heard indistinct whispers when he was certain he was alone in a room. Once, Linda swore she saw a fleeting shadow dart past a window, even though no one else was outside. Jake, Helen exclaimed, her voice echoing through the hallways. Someone's taken my screwdriver again. Jake appeared from an adjacent room, wiping sweat from his brow. It's probably just the kids from town sneaking in. We need to keep an eye out. Linda wasn't so sure. It felt as if someone was watching me, she murmured, wrapping her arms around herself. Amidst the chaos, Lydia, the town's renowned artist, was engrossed in her work. Her task was to paint murals depicting the school's most notorious legends. As her brush caressed the wall, painting scenes of lovers' trysts and midnight rendezvous, she'd occasionally feel an inexplicable cold draft brush past her. One evening, while adding details to a scene, she stepped back to view her work and gasped. The face she'd painted, which was previously looking downward, now seemed to be glaring directly at her. She blinked and shook her head, dismissing it as exhaustion playing tricks on her eyes. Meanwhile, Jake's curiosity about the school was insatiable. Delving into the archives at the local library, he uncovered old newspaper clippings that hinted at unresolved mysteries tied to the school. There were obituaries of students whose causes of death were never clarified, and mention of a teacher who disappeared without a trace. Late one night, as the wind howled outside, Jake sat in a dusty old classroom, surrounded by scattered papers. He stumbled upon an old journal, its pages yellowed and brittle. The entries were from a former student and mentioned hushed conversations, footsteps in locked rooms, and mournful cries on moonless nights. The weight of the school's past bore down on Jake. A line between legends and reality seemed to blur. Whether the occurrences were mere pranks or something more sinister, the ambience of the old school was certainly living up to its haunting reputation. Autumn leaves rustled underfoot, illuminated by the soft glow of jack-o'-lanterns that lined the entrance to the old school. The evening sky was painted with hues of deep purples and blues, while stars began to twinkle, serving as a celestial audience to the evening's eerie festivities. Outside the school, anticipation was electric. The glow of lanterns cast dancing shadows on the faces of townsfolk who eagerly awaited their turn to step into the haunted halls. The air was filled with the scent of burning wood and cinnamon, while children in costumes darted around, their laughter punctuating the whispers of ghost tales shared by those in line. "Did you hear about the teacher who vanished?" one teenager, dressed as a zombie, asked another. His friend, with white face paint and fake fangs, replied, "Yeah, and they never found her. They say her spirit still roams the school, searching for something." Nearby, a father reassured his young daughter, her face painted like a kitten. "Remember, sweetheart, it's all just pretend. There's nothing to be scared of." However, not all present were believers in the supernatural. A tall, slender figure detached herself from the shadows and approached the entrance. This was Morgan, a sharp-eyed reporter from a neighboring town's newspaper. Her jet-black hair, pulled back in a tight bun, and no-nonsense attire sharply contrasted with the festive atmosphere. Her eyes scanned the school with a hint of derision. She was there on assignment, fully intending to dismantle the tales of hauntings that had drawn so many that evening. With her notepad ready, she approached a group of teenagers. "Do you truly believe in these tales? Or are you here just for the thrill?" A young girl with green streaks in her hair smirked. "Both. I mean, it's Halloween. Who doesn't want a good scare?" "Hmm," Morgan muttered, jotting down a note. She continued her line of questioning with others, receiving a variety of responses. Some genuinely believed in the hauntings, while others were there purely for the experience. As the clock neared the opening hour, the Historical Society members gathered by the entrance, ready to greet their first guests. Jake, his eyes showing a mix of excitement and trepidation, stepped forward. "Ladies and gentlemen," he began, his voice carrying through the crisp night air, "thank you for joining us on this special night. Prepare to witness the legends of this school come alive. And remember, not all tales are mere fiction." Morgan, standing at the back of the crowd, rolled her eyes subtly. Little did she know, the night would challenge her skepticism in ways she could never have imagined. The grand wooden doors of the school creaked open, revealing a dimly lit corridor bathed in a reddish hue from strategically placed lights. Guests entered tentatively, their footsteps echoing in the vast hallway. Shadows seemed to move just at the edge of vision, and faint whispering sounds filled the air, amplified by the acoustics of the old building. In the initial rooms, the horrors were clearly scripted. A skeleton popped out from a closet, eliciting squeals from a group of teenagers. In another room, recorded shrill screams resonated as visitors encountered a mock graveyard with actors pretending to be zombies rising from the earth. Families laughed as they navigated through, with parents comforting startled children and friends daring each other to proceed. Morgan moved with a sense of aloofness, her pen and pad ready, observing everything with a critic's eye. Every so often, she would chuckle, shake her head, and scribble something down. However, as visitors progressed, the atmosphere began to shift. They came upon the walls adorned with Lydia's murals. The paintings were so vivid and evocative that they seemed almost lifelike. There was the image of a young girl in a Victorian dress, her eyes sorrowful, standing by a window, with rain pouring outside. Further along was a depiction of a classroom, where shadowy figures appeared to be seated, their faces obscured, save for their hauntingly hollow eyes. A sense of unease began to creep among the guests. They could feel the weight of the eyes in the murals following them. The air grew colder. Whispers of discomfort rippled through the crowd. "There's something off about these paintings," one visitor murmured to another. As they ventured deeper, the lines between reality and illusion blurred. In a hall lined with old lockers, one of the doors slowly swung open, and instead of an actor, a translucent figure of a boy in outdated attire emerged, his face etched with sadness. In a dance room, mirrors reflected not the current guests, but scenes from a bygone era, with spectral students practicing their steps. Suddenly, in the midst of the dim corridor, lights flickered and a genuine, mournful wail echoed, originating from nowhere yet seeming to come from everywhere. The chill in the air intensified, and for a moment, everything stood still. Even Morgan paused, her skeptical demeanor faltering as she looked around, trying to find a logical explanation. The distinction between the staged horrors and real spectral occurrences became indecipherable. The school, it seemed, was awakening, and its long-forgotten tales were clamoring to be heard once more. The guests found themselves funneled into what once must have been a grand classroom. The room was spacious with high ceilings, its walls covered in peeling paint and wallpaper reminiscent of a time long past. Faded world maps adorned one side, while a massive blackboard took pride of place at the front. Rows of old wooden desks were haphazardly arranged, some overturned. To add to the eerie ambience, props like cobwebs, fake rats, and dim, flickering lanterns were scattered throughout. No sooner had the last visitor entered than the room's atmosphere transformed. The previously silent grand piano in one corner began to play. The notes were haunting, melodic, weaving a tune from yesteryears. No one was seated at its keys. The ivory seemed to depress on its own, creating a melancholic symphony that echoed through the room. The guests' attention then turned to the large blackboard. Chalk, seemingly held by an invisible hand, began to scrawl messages. "Beware of the hallways," one message warned. Then, more shockingly, a specific prediction appeared. "David, do not venture alone." A man named David in the group blanched, his face turning a shade paler, as friends tried to console him, attributing it to a well-researched prank. As the atmosphere grew tense, the old school desk started to rattle. The gentle movement escalated to a violent shake, creating a discordant rhythm that paired with the somber notes of the piano. Jake, who had until now tried to maintain an air of calm assurance, guiding the visitors and offering explanations where he could, suddenly stiffened. He felt a cold, distinct grip on his shoulder. Turning swiftly, he found no one behind him, but the chilling sensation remained, as if a specter from the past was trying to communicate a message. Morgan, skepticism momentarily set aside, decided to capture the inexplicable occurrences on her camera. She began clicking away, trying to document the levitating chalk and the self-playing piano. However, when she reviewed her images, her analytical mind was sent into a whirl. Captured in her shots were transparent apparitions, children in period clothing, a stern-looking teacher with a ruler in hand, and other ethereal figures that weren't present in the room. She zoomed in, trying to make sense of what her lens had detected, her earlier skepticism giving way to rising curiosity, and a hint of trepidation. The room, it seemed, was not just replaying memories, it was a conduit, a bridge between the past and present, and the souls that once inhabited the school were far from dormant. They had stories to tell, and they were demanding to be acknowledged. A creaky, narrow staircase led the guests downward, its wooden steps groaning under the weight of anticipation. As the group descended, the atmosphere thickened, the weight of a century's secrets pressing down on them. Dim lanterns hung on the stone walls, casting eerie shadows that danced and flitted as the visitors moved. The basement was vast, its expanse broken up by stone pillars and arched doorways. Instead of the modern props they had come to expect, the room was filled with artifacts that whispered of genuine history. Wooden tables were scattered with items that seemed to have been untouched for decades. Porcelain dolls with a single glassy eye, old-fashioned inkwells, and fading photographs of stern-faced students and faculty. Among these relics, a collection drew the crowd's attention. Neatly stacked journals bound in worn leather, next to which lay personal trinkets like lockets and pocket watches. Beside them, a collection of yellowing news clippings described various unsettling incidents associated with the school, ranging from mysterious disappearances to inexplicable accidents. Jake, curiosity getting the better of him, carefully picked up one of the journals, its leather binding cracked and pages brittle to touch. The entries were written in a neat, cursive hand. As he began to read aloud, the room seemed to hush, the past eager to share its tale. September 15th, 1901, it's dangerous, this love that Thomas and I share. If anyone were to find out, especially my father, the consequences would be dire. Yet, stolen moments in the school's tower, away from prying eyes, are what I live for. The entries detailed a passionate, clandestine relationship between a young student named Lillian and Thomas, a teacher at the school. The danger of their forbidden love was evident in every word, the desperation and longing palpable. November 23, 1901, today, Thomas gave me a locket, its golden exterior hiding our portrait. It's our secret, a piece of our love I can carry close to my heart. But as he handed it to me, there was a sadness in his eyes. He spoke of leaving, of keeping me safe from the wrath that our discovery would incur. As Jake read, Lydia, who had been examining the artifacts, held up a tarnished golden locket. Opening it, she revealed a faded portrait of a young woman with strikingly familiar eyes, and a man with a kind face. The likeness to the journal's description was undeniable. The final entry Jake shared was tinged with heartbreak and foreboding. December 10, 1901, tonight, we meet for the last time in our secret place. Thomas says he's found a way for us to be together forever, away from the judging eyes of this world. I'm afraid, but my love for him is stronger than my fear. The date coincided with one of the news clippings that detailed the tragic discovery of two bodies in the school tower, their identities a mystery. The cause was labeled an unfortunate accident, but the journal hinted at something darker. The basement, meant to be a staged climax, had unveiled a hauntingly authentic narrative, intertwining the present guests with the star-crossed lovers of the past. The boundaries between legend and reality had once again melded, revealing a tale of love, tragedy, and the enduring power of memories. As the group left the heavy atmosphere of the basement, they were guided toward the double doors of the auditorium. The once grand room had deteriorated with time, its velvet seats moth-eaten, and the once gleaming woodwork now dull. Overhead, a grand chandelier, missing several crystals, added an extra layer of eeriness with its dim, flickering lights. Upon entering, they found themselves not among the seats, but on the vast stage. Before them was a heavy velvet curtain, its deep red hue faded to a tired maroon. But before anyone could question their peculiar positioning, the curtain began to rise slowly, unveiling not an expectant audience, but an ethereal tableau of figures shimmering in the dim light. The phantoms were clearly from different eras of the school's history. A young man in an early 20th century suit reached out to a woman in a long flowing dress, their fingers nearly touching, but forever apart. Children in old school uniforms played with a ball that never seemed to touch the ground, their laughter a hauntingly distant echo. A stern-faced teacher looked on, a sense of regret visible in his ghostly eyes. Lydia, taking in the spectral scene, felt a shiver run down her spine. Among the ethereal figures was a woman, her features and bearing strikingly similar to Lydia's own. The ghostly woman's eyes, filled with sorrow, seemed to lock onto Lydia's, a silent recognition passing between them. The realization hit Lydia with a jolt. The spirit was likely her own great-grandmother or some other ancestor, forever trapped in the school's haunted history. Morgan, always the skeptic but now a believer, stepped forward, her reporter instincts kicking in. "Can you hear us?" she ventured, her voice echoing in the vastness of the auditorium. A murmur ran through the spectral figures. The young lovers looked at each other, the children paused in their play, and the teacher turned his gaze toward Morgan. "We wish to understand," Morgan continued, her voice firm. "We want to know your stories, and perhaps help you find peace." The stern teacher, his form more solid than the others, approached Morgan. With a voice like wind rustling through dead leaves, he began, "We are the trapped souls, the stories that were never concluded, the lives cut short. The building remembers, and so it binds us here." One by one, the spirits shared snippets of their tales, of love cut short, of ambitions never realized, of lives taken too soon. Their tales weren't just of personal tragedies, but of an overarching malevolence that seemed to permeate the school's very foundations. As the last spirit's tale faded away, the air grew colder, and the figures began to shimmer, fading in and out like a weak signal. Morgan, driven by a newfound respect for the unknown, called out, "Let your stories be known. We will remember, and in remembering, may you find some semblance of peace." As the last word left her lips, the room was plunged into darkness, only the dim glow from the chandelier offering any illumination. The spirits had vanished, leaving behind an empty stage and an audience forever changed by the tales of the past. A soft orange glow stretched across the horizon, painting the facade of the old school in warm hues. Birds began their morning songs, providing a stark contrast to the silence of the night before. The once imposing building now stood quietly, a sentinel of the past watching over the present. Outside the school, the dazed guests and members of the Historical Society gathered, their faces marked with exhaustion but also a newfound respect for the history they had so inadvertently awakened. They stood together, not just as participants of a haunted event, but as witnesses to tales that needed to be told. Morgan, pen and notebook in hand, turned to Jake and said, "We cannot let this place be an attraction, not after what we've witnessed. Its history, its pain, and its memories deserve respect." Jake nodded in agreement. "It should be a place of remembrance, a tribute to the souls that once graced these halls." Lydia, her artist soul deeply affected by the previous night's events, stepped forward. "I want to tell their stories, the real ones, not the twisted legends we grew up with. I want to paint the truth, the lives they led, the dreams they cherished." Her voice carried the weight of her own personal connection to the school's past. It was unanimously decided the school would not serve as a haunted house or any other form of entertainment. Instead, it would stand as a memorial, a testament to its history and the lives intertwined with it. In the weeks that followed, Lydia embarked on her project. The murals she painted were vibrant, telling tales of love, ambition, friendship, and tragedy. Each stroke of her brush brought to life the essence of the souls that had once roamed the school's corridors. The paintings stood not as reminders of the school's dark past, but as tributes to the lives that had once filled its rooms. And as the final mural was completed, the school's heavy front doors were closed. The only sound was the gentle rustling of leaves in the wind. But if one listened closely, ever so closely, they might hear a soft whisper, almost like a sigh, echoing from the building's ancient walls. A whisper of gratitude, a whisper of redemption. Sleep tight, listeners, for we've reached the end of tonight's chilling tale. But remember, when the silence of the night surrounds you, the stories we've shared might just come whispering back. Until our next unsettling journey together, keep a light on and listen to the whispers of the night. Farewell for now. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.